From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Military studies show that as many as one quarter of soldiers who have fought in Iraq and Afghanistan have symptoms of serious mental health problems. After an NPR investigation, leaders at Fort Carson, Colorado, launched a new training program that they said would get help to every soldier who needs it. But during a recent visit, NPR's Daniel Zwerdling found that this goal seems to conflict with the military's demand for discipline.
When Billy Talley was fighting in Afghanistan, he got an award for unmatched bravery. His commander wrote that Talley defined new levels of excellence, and they redeployed him to Iraq. Then he flew home last Christmas for what was supposed to be 2 weeks' leave. And he says when he went to the airport to go back to Iraq, he suddenly started shaking. He got paranoid. He flipped out. I met Talley on a recent Sunday morning over breakfast at a restaurant. He was sitting stiffly at one end of the table. Meanwhile, his wife, Natasha, was trying to soothe their baby and two little boys. Talley says it's hard to describe what happened.
I don't know. I just had no control over myself. No control over my mind, my body.
You had been wandering the airport.
For a couple hours, yes.
For a couple hours before you'd even called me. I didn't know what he was going to do. He just sounded very disoriented. He was not himself.
After Natasha calmed him down, Talley went immediately to Fort Carson, and he told his supervisors he desperately needed help. His medical records show that over the next few weeks, the doctors at the base diagnosed him with chronic PTSD and depression. He couldn't stop crying. They gave him drugs and sent him to a counseling group. And then Talley's leaders charged him with violating the code of military justice, and they demoted him. They cut his pay by more than one-third because they ordered him to go back to Iraq, and he got psychiatric treatment instead. The week I was at Fort Carson, four other soldiers told me they've been falling apart. Their leaders have been punishing them, and in some cases taking steps to kick them out of the Army. The soldiers showed me their Army records to confirm it. And their leaders have been doing all this since commanders at Fort Carson proclaimed that things are better. Of course, you can't expect every leader at Fort Carson to change just because they went to the new training on PTSD. Still, General Robert Mixon insists that he'll punish any leaders who mistreat soldiers in trouble.
Are you holding, you know, anybody here accountable for letting soldiers fall through the cracks?
Yes, we are, and we will. We expect leaders to support soldiers getting care and treatment without bias. And if we see evidence of bias, we'll take disciplinary action against the leaders who demonstrate that bias.
But Mixon couldn't tell me what kind of disciplinary action they've taken or how many leaders they've actually disciplined. He said his right-hand man would know that. So I went down the hallway to see the general's command sergeant major, Terrence McWilliams, sat at a conference table that's covered with hundreds of his medals. He says he hasn't punished any leaders.
No, we have not taken disciplinary actions.
He says he has reprimanded a few leaders verbally. That's it. At this point in the interview, McWilliams sheds light on the dilemma that seems to be causing so much controversy around Fort Carson. Remember, their new training program stresses that soldiers who get PTSD and other emotional disorders commonly misbehave. Remember that part of the lecture?
Do not ignore the warning signs. Excessive drinking, marital problems, domestic abuse, suspected drug use, declining work performance.
Yet here it is, months after the commanders have launched their new training, and the command sergeant major insists that they'll punish soldiers who misbehave in those very ways, even when the Army's doctors confirm that the soldiers have disorders like PTSD.
We got to understand one fact here, Dan, and that is, you know, we have an obligation to maintain good order and discipline. And we just can't use or say that my experiences in Iraq or Afghanistan is a justification as to why I broke the law. We're all human. We know the difference between right and wrong.
Is that too tough a standard? Are you allowing enough for the fact that some soldiers who have serious mental health problems linked partly to fighting in the war just might be falling apart so much that, yeah, now they're taking drugs or now they're going AWOL, and you know, you have to forgive that?
I won't say it's too tough of a standard. We have established policies, procedures, and guidelines that we have to follow. But again, we are a caring organization, and we're going to do what's right by our soldiers. That we're going to do, okay? But at the same time, we still have to maintain good order and discipline.
The psychiatrist who runs the mental health center at Fort Carson stands by this policy, too. It's Dr. Stephen Knorr.
PTSD is not an excuse for bad behavior.
Knorr is in charge of all the specialists who diagnose the soldiers and treat them. While we were talking, I noticed there was a memo pinned to his bulletin board. The document was striking because it didn't read like something you'd expect in a therapy office. Knorr laughed uncomfortably, but he agreed to read it.
You've written common mistakes made when dealing with troubled problem soldiers. And if you could just read the first two or three.
Knorr says he wrote this memo to help commanders deal with soldiers who have mental health problems, like PTSD. Now, top officials at the Pentagon say the military's goal is to heal every soldier who comes back from the war, or at least help them get well enough to stay in the service or lead a good life when they leave the Army. But Knorr's memo tells officers at Fort Carson that they're making a mistake if they're, quote, trying to save every soldier, unquote. He reads on.
We can't fix every soldier, then neither can you. We have to hold soldiers accountable for their behavior.
And then let me just say everyone in life, beyond babies, the insane and the
demented and mentally retarded, have to be held accountable for what they do in life.
Then Knorr's memo warns commanders that another mistake is, quote, procrastination on discipline and separation, unquote. Translation, officers should get rid of troubled soldiers quickly.
You know, from a commander's standpoint and from a staff sergeant's standpoint, a staff sergeant might have 30 soldiers in his platoon, and he has to get them trained and ready and working as a cohesive team. If he has one or two soldiers who are not showing up for work, who are showing up intoxicated, who are using illicit drugs, or going AWOL, that soldier with the misconduct problems is dragging down the whole platoon. And they don't have time for that.
If I'm understanding you right, you're saying, folks, you have to understand we are the Army. We're fighting a war. We can't spend endless time and money and energy trying to cure every single soldier who comes back with problems.
Exactly.
After I left Fort Carson, I played Knorr's comments for Dr. Stephen Zanakis. He's the former Brigadier General in the Army's Medical Command. Zanakis said, it really saddens me to hear that. He sighed, and he added, that policy at Fort Carson is inhumane. Daniel Zwerdling, NPR News.
You can read the previous reports in our series about mental health treatment at Fort Carson at our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.